Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to all our listeners once again from Radio Islam on Media Wave 1548, your learning station. Alhamdulillah, we have been very fortunate in this holy month of Ramadan to be given this, to be graced with this opportunity of having our very first phone in live program. As you know, the previous Masail Desk that was long awaited by many of our listeners, we are fortunate to have an Honorable Mufti Afzal Ilyas with us today in the studio from Rainswood, who will be inshallah answering all those questions and queries that are pertaining to fasting. Please listeners, bear with us one thing, that today our focus on the Masail is dealing pertaining to fasting only due to the time constraints. Please try and be brief and concise and to the point with your questions, and inshallah Mufti Sahib will try and handle as many as possible. We do at the station have queries on a regular basis on the different aspects of fasting. Today is a golden opportunity. If you have any of those queries, please phone in. Our direct phone-in lines for today are 854-7023, 854-7024, and 854-7025. So please, you may phone in from now, immediately. Also, I would like to mention that this program is brought to you by the very kind sponsorship of PrideNet. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahib. I am very happy to we have the pleasure of being with us today in the studios. We welcome you to our studios.
Wa alaikum salam. Inshallah, today we'll be discussing those masails pertaining to fasting. And inshallah, we will try to aid our listeners and help them with those queries that constantly crop up year after year.
If I may, Mufti Sahib, may start with one question while our calls are falling in. I have a question that this call is coming now, not so long ago, and it was pertaining to fasting. A very important question was regard to a person who is ill. Now, the question was that this particular person is ill, has a particular disease, maybe a disease like Parkinson's or lupus, etc., and they have difficulty in fasting because of medication that they have to take on a regular basis. So they feel that if they have to fast, they are totally sort of lame and cannot manage fasting. So what is the situation of a person in this condition? Okay, are they exempted from fasting? Do they have to give kafara? Or do they have to do the qaza of the fast? Or are they not allowed to remain in a fasting condition?
Respected Maulana, this is a common question. And every year we have brothers who are normally, and sisters who are normally well before Ramadan. But strangely enough, as soon as the moon is sighted, then ailments, illnesses crop up. And now, because we are blessed with Islam, and Islam is a natural, easy deen, and Islam allows us certain exemptions, and it allows us not to fast under certain circumstances, then ailment and illness, after I defined it, then we'll realize that certain ailments, certain illnesses, if a person is afflicted with, then he is exempted from fasting, and if he recovers from those illnesses, then he has to keep a qaza of it. Now, as a illness, how we will define an illness, it is not that sometimes we have a person, he has a stone problem, and as soon as the month of Ramadan comes, those stones begin to become rocks, and then he does not want to fast. Another person, he has ulcers, whole year he manages, he goes everywhere, he does everything, and come Ramadan, those ulcers become peptic. So how do we draw the line, and where do we draw this line? Yeah. We will draw this line that a person who is sick and he is in such a condition that ailment will worsen the condition, or that ailment will lead him towards death, or that ailment or that sickness will cause such harm that the sickness that he has got, it will become more, it will become worse and worsen his condition to such an extent that it is possible that a life-threatening situation may arise, or he may lose one of his organs or limbs or etc. As far as an ailment or a sickness is concerned, then he must go to a reliable Muslim, pious, righteous doctor, and this doctor will assess whether this person can fast or he should forego his fast. After conferring with the doctor, a pious doctor, a righteous doctor, then the person will be able to assess for himself that I will fast, or I should break the fast, or I should forego the fast and keep another fast as qaza. However, after having a small headache, or if the temperature, or if it's very hot, or he falls down, or he is feeling extremely thirsty, these are no causes for breaking the fast or foregoing the fast. A person has to be really sick, then he may forego that fast and keep a qaza later on.
Alhamdulillah, I think that was very well explained, Mr. Chab. I think I'm sure the listeners out there have got their answer as well. That the importance of the fasting, I think if people realize the importance of fasting, then they would not look for small excuses or minor excuses in order not to fast.
I'm going to put you on air now, right?
Oh, I think we have a caller coming in now.
Who is speaking? Abdul Hamid? Abdul Hamid from Malaysia. Wa alaikum salam. Sure. Yes.
Ji.
We have got this question concerning Sehri and concerning Iftar. Now, the Sehri one, where our timetables are saying that we should terminate our eating of Sehri or partaking of Sehri. Now, there are some timetables which are exact, and there are certain timetables which are giving a leeway of 10 minutes. For example, in the beginning of the fast, we had one timetable saying 3:33, and one timetable read 3:42. So the 3:42, that's the exact cutoff theory. That's the exact cutoff time. Now, a person, technically speaking, he may eat up till 3:42, but we will advise that he closes up Sehri a few minutes before that cutoff time. Otherwise, maybe he goes beyond 3:42 and he will be breaking his fast. And his fast will not be valid. That is as far as Sehri is concerned. And while we, Abdul Hamid, while we are at the topic of Sehri, that Alhamdulillah, in this time of Ramadan, the whole family gets up for Sehri. And we must understand that Sehri time ends and Tahajjud time ends. And when Sehri time ends, Tahajjud time ends, Fajr starts. Now a person, what he should try to do is that get up Alhamdulillah for Sehri, and then according to Fatwa Darul Uloom, that two rakat is minimum for Tahajjud Salat. So he make Tahajjud Salat, and he will be rewarded for Tahajjud Salat. After the Faraz Salat, the most excellent Salat is Tahajjud Salat. So the person should get up, inshallah, and make his Tahajjud Salat. As to your question concerning the Sehri, we have explained. Now the Iftari. The Iftari, the time, generally, the time given is not the sunset time. The time given on the calendars is the, what we call the Azan time. So that means the sunset may be 5:59, and the Azan is 5:02, right? So the person, what he should try to do is, as soon as the Azan is called, that's a safe time to open his fast. So when the Azan is given, that means the sun has already set. The sun has set, he can open his fast. I hope you are hearing me clearly. Yeah. So I'll repeat the answer. We are still getting technical problems.
We've got a slight technical problem. Please bear with us. We're just trying to iron it out.
Oh, I have to answer. When Azan is given, then the person should open his fast and not delay it. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a meaning of hadith has stated that we should not delay our opening of the fast. Jazakallah, Abdul Hamid.
I'm sure that question, or the answer was rather...
Did you hear the last part of the answer? Sorry. Okay, yeah, no problem. Please bear with us. This is the first time we are venturing into such a program where we are answering questions live. So please bear with any technical problems we are having. I'll appeal to the public that please bear with us with if we are having some technical problem. We'll try to answer all the questions. The question posed by Abdul Hamid from Indonesia was concerning the iftari time. As soon as the azan is given, basically the azan is given in our country after the sun has set. So that is a pretty safe time for us to open our fast, and we should not delay in opening our fast. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in mafhum of a hadith, has stated that delay of the iftari is like imitating the Ahl Kitab, and we should not try to do that. Jazakallah. Any question, Abdul?
Hello.
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum.
Who am I speaking to? Wa alaikum salam.
Salam.
Ji. Ji. Yes. 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 Jazakallah, I have understood your question. Basically, it is that why we allow after the azan during Ramadan sometime, and in other outside the month of Ramadan, for example, during the month of Shawwal for the sixth, we do not allow the tithe. This is an administrative problem, or it pertains to the administration of the masjid. It pertains to the administration of the masjid. And just as in Ramzan, the administration, the mutawallis of the masjid, take advantage
over the fact that we can't allow.
Sorry, Brother Abdul Qadir, can you listen? Can you hear us? Eh? You must laugh for one moment, please. Mufti will answer that again.
The mutawallis of the masjid, for convenience of the musallis, the followers, the jamaat, they allow certain time, a certain amount of time, because the fuqaha have given permission that we can delay the maghrib salat in Ramzan because of partaking of iftari. So they said that we can take 7 minutes, some masjid allow 10 minutes from the time of azan, and as a result, the musallis, some of them who are staying around the masjid, they break fast, make iftari at home, and they come to the masjid. If in a particular masjid the mutawallis they allow in Shawwal also a leeway to open your fast and then come to the masjid, that will be permissible, and that depends solely on the mutawallis and not on any other masala. Do you understand that, my brother, Abdul Khan?
Jazakumullah.
Yes.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, take it for
the next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, I cannot.
Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum assalam. Who am I speaking to, brother? Abdul. Ji. Right. Ji.
Hello, I have got this question. Ji. The question was that the wife, when she was pregnant, she missed a few fasts due to pregnancy, and now she has
recovered.
Must she keep the fast or give some kafara? Respected brother, that since your wife has missed some fast while she was pregnant, and alhamdulillah, now it is over, then she must make qaza of the fast that she missed. She must make qaza of the fast that is missed. That is the best course of action. Yes, if she now becomes very, very ill, then other maslahs and other laws apply. But for now, because she has recovered, then inshallah she must keep her qaza fast. Obviously, a qaza fast will be outside Ramzan, not in Ramzan. In Ramzan, the fast of Ramzan is farz, obligatory. You cannot have a dual intention in Ramzan. Do you understand that, my brother? No. Jazakallah.
Walaikum salam.
Can I take this one here?
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. You are near, brother. Please speak up. Assalamu alaikum. Hello. Do we have a call? I think we got cut off there. Walaikum assalam.
Hello, Raji sir. Walaikum salam. Your name? Abdullah, your question?
Ji.
Okay, Abdullah. One second, I don't want to take the whole question for you all, then you can follow the program and then you can put your name and you can ask.
JazakAllah for the question. Sir, we have a question from a sister here saying that she is asthmatic and that she is alhamdulillah managing to fast, but she has to take the pump occasionally, and in the course of the day she requires to take an inhalation of one pump or one inhalation. So what is the situation, Mr. Sir?
Concerning asthmatic patients, we must know a few things. That with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are able to fast, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you strength and ability to continue in that way.
Okay.
However, asthmatic pumps, they are of two types. One is a dry pump and one is a wet pump, sometimes referred to as a rotor pump. According to our research which we have conducted, that both these asthmatic pumps, when they are used, then the palate, the back portion of the mouth, when the pumps spray onto that, then molecules of fluid and molecules of liquid develop there and eventually fall down the throat. When this happens, the fast will break. So what we come to the conclusion that asthmatic pumps, whether they are wet or whether they are dry, if they are taken, will break the fast. So if an asthmatic patient, if he has a, he or she has an attack, and that attack is very, very severe, then if there is no injection available to relieve that attack, and if the person has to utilize the pump, then the fast will break, will become invalid, and the person will have to keep a qaza, only a qaza. So what you should try to do is that take the pump during non-fasting time, or take some medication during non-fasting time, so that you do not get an attack and you are able to fast throughout the day. Due to any circumstances, if you have to utilize the pump, the asthmatic pump will break the fast.
Like I'm understanding on the
team.
Can I cut this one?
Yes. I hear you. Can a fasting person, for example, your case, asthmatic patient, go on a drip? Yes, you will can go on a drip. The drip will not invalidate the fast. The drip will not invalidate the fast. So if you have a severe attack, and if you have an intravenous injection or go on a drip, then that will not invalidate the fast. Have you understood that? Have you understood that?
Hello? Hello? I think we got cut off with that caller, but I'm sure that the answer is gone through.
No, it's still on this.
The sister that was regarding the asthmatic question, I think she's... I mean, she's still on.
Hello, are you still there?
Okay, anyway, Mufti Sahib has clarified that question already. And just for the benefit of the listeners, I think Mufti Sahib.
Next call, Aman.
Aman, can you speak?
Assalamu alaikum. Hello. Assalamu alaikum. Hello.
Can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you. Assalamu alaikum. Hello. I think we have a technical problem. Hello. Yes, I hear you now. Who's there? Is your brother Aman? Hello. No, you got cut off again. Hello. Yes, I hear you now. Aman Khanji. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
All right. Sorry about that. Ji.
This question pertains to Ramzan and non-Ramzan, and it pertains to a more general life because of the medical usage.
That's right. It's only tropical.
Yes, tropical.
Mm-hmm. I do understand. Skin only, cannot be taken in.
I do understand that. If there is no adequate alternative, and you are forced to utilize that ointment, that tropical ointment, then it is permissible.
Okay, fine. Because there is no other alternative for it. And in fact, in Saudi Arabia, is probably the only place where you can get it.
The rule that I have stated, keep that in mind, that if this is the only alternative, then utilize it. It does not break your fast.
Okay.
Dear listeners out there, please bear with us for this technical problem that we are encountering. Please do understand that this is the first live phone program that we are having. Also, for the benefit of our listeners, I'd like to mention that this program has been once again very kindly sponsored by PrideNet. While we are waiting for the next caller, I have a question here that has come somewhere. I see the caller has cut off. Have you got a caller?
Yes, thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello. Assalamu alaikum. Hello.
No one
there. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Hello. I've got a dining table there, I think. Okay, I have one question here for Mufisa. There was a call on the phone earlier, Mufisa. He states here that a person unwillingly vomits, but this vomit is less than a mouthful. The unwilling vomit is less than a mouthful, and then he intentionally swallows it. Will this nullify the fast? He intentionally swallows it thereafter.
This person here, to repeat, he unintentionally vomited and intentionally he swallowed that vomit. In this case, the fast is valid. It does not break the fast. Similarly, if a person swallows his or her saliva, then it does not break the fast.
Just a question has come to my mind, that what if a person vomits a mouthful and thereafter he swallows the vomit? What happens in that situation?
Yes. First of all, if a person vomits a mouthful, obviously it's going to come out of the mouth.
Right.
And then some part of it will go down his throat.
Right.
Yeah, we have to worry about voluntary vomiting and involuntary vomiting.
Right.
So understand, we have got two cases. One is voluntary vomiting,
right,
and one is involuntary vomiting.
Okay.
Involuntary vomiting, if it's a mouthful, it does not break the fast. Voluntary, that means he or she induced that vomit.
Right, okay.
And by inducing the vomit and by causing that vomit to external circumstances, it's a mouthful, that the fast will break.
Okay.
Person will have to keep qaza.
We'll keep qaza, okay. Jazakumullah for them, sir. Do we have a caller, you know?
No. Sadia, question, when is the right time to break qaza? Before Seri, after Seri, before Isha, while Azan is on, or after
Azan? Right. Oh. I have a sister who posed the question here, wanting to know what is the appropriate time for breaking the roza. Is it at the time
to make dua,
or the appropriate time of making dua, Mufti Sam? Is it at the time of the actual sunset, or just when Azan is going, or just prior to that? Or what is the most appropriate time? If you could just enlighten us on that one.
Subs the hadith, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala adha, she had a maid, and she should instruct the maid to tell her that when is the sun about setting, and to inform Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha that when is the sun setting? The maid should inform Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha that the sun is about to set, and upon this Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha should engage herself in dua. So we come to know that just before sunset is a time of acceptance of dua. So we will say 5-10 minutes before actual sunset, that's the time when dua is accepted. It comes in the hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that during the day of fasting, at least one dua is definitely accepted. So dua is accepted just before sunset. Also during the whole month of Ramadan, we should take benefit, because the whole month of Ramadan is blessed, and during this month, duas are accepted.
Jazakumullah for the Muslim. In fact, I was just going to mention that to you, that alhamdulillah, this blessed month of Ramadan, every second in that month is a blessed moment, and it's accepted for dua. So people should take this opportunity of spending the maximum time in tilawat of the Quran and making dua. Have you got a call, Zina? Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. My question is, look, I'm not too well. I'm going to the gynecologist tomorrow. Can I fast or can I not fast?
Okay. And are you?
The
hello? Hello, can you hear us?
Yes.
See, in your case, you are going to visit a gynecologist, and I presume there is going to be an examination. So I will just, in broad guidelines, give you certain rules. By that you can determine what to do and what you should do and how you should react, whether you should fast, etc. First of all, that examination, the examination will, if there is going to be an internal examination, and in the internal examination they are going to utilize some fluid or some gel or some liquid, and if there is entry of some fluid or some gel or some liquid during the examination, then the fast will break.
Okay.
If there is going to be a dry examination, the fast will not break.
Okay.
So you should try to determine what type of an examination you are going in for. If there is going to be a wet some fluid or gel, something going to be inserted, then the fast will definitely break.
Alright, and if I'm put on a drip?
If you are put on a drip, then the drip will not break your fast if you are fasting.
Okay, Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Alright. Alright. Assalamu alaikum. Hello.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Is that Radio Islam?
That's right, brother.
That must be the station for the nation.
It is, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Question for my learned elder, sir.
Jee,
why the time difference between South Africa and Saudi Arabia?
Why the time difference?
Yes, with regard to Ramadan.
If I may ask, brother, your name, I didn't get your good name.
AK.
AK.
Jee.
Brother AK, for the benefit of the listeners, brother is asking a question, why the time difference between South Africa and Saudi Arabia? Although this question...
Interrupt.
Yes, bhai.
I think there's some connection or related to Ramadan. I mean, they started Ramadan, I seek on the correction, on Sunday. We only started on Monday.
Yes.
And yet the time difference from my experience being there two years ago was approximately an hour or so.
An hour difference, yes. Okay. Mufti Sahib, I'll hand you over to Mufti Sahib.
Brother Abdul Qadir, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
See, first of all, that the Saudi government, I do not know, and I stand subject to correction as to when do they actually start Ramzan. Now there are two things concerning the moon. The time difference, like sunset or sunrise, that does not determine when to start the month of Ramzan. When to start the month of Ramzan depends on sighting of the moon, but it is not necessarily visible. You understand me, Abdul Qadir?
Yes.
See, the birth of the moon can take place. That can be computerized and you can calculate it, and the observatory can tell us that the birth of the moon has taken place.
Right.
But the actual physical sighting of it, that's a different issue, that's a physical issue.
Yes.
Now, my respected brother, that possibly, I stand subject to correction, that the Saudi authorities, they are relying on the birth of the moon and not on the sighting of the moon. So when they rely on the birth of the moon, then they will obviously start Ramadan long before us, 1-2 days before us. And we are conforming to the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which specifically, clearly talks of that commence the Ramadan when you see the moon, and terminate Ramadan when you see the moon. So we are looking at the physical aspect, meanwhile possibly they are looking at the birth of the moon. So that is why this discrepancy is arising.
I think, like you said, they are basing it on the birth of the moon and not the sighting of the moon, possibly. I think it warrants a letter from myself to the Saudi embassy, if there is one, in South Africa. Jazakumullah.
Keep well.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu.
Who am I speaking to, brother?
Abdul.
Brother Abdul.
Yes.
From Lanesia?
Yes.
Yes, brother Abdul.
Two questions. One is, when you make wazoo and when you can gargle your mouth while you're in the roza, while you're fasting, is that possible?
When a person is making wudu, you mean when you are making wudu while fasting, you're asking if you could gargle.
Yeah, and then if accidentally, if a drop or so you swallow or something accidentally, is that still fasting is still valid?
Your second question?
And the second question?
The second one is containing attar and perfumes, you know.
Attar and perfumes.
If you are fasting and you can you put on that, because I noticed in the mosque, you know, quite a few brothers have attar or, you know, perfume on while, you know, state of fasting.
As for your first question, that whilst making wuzu to gargle your mouth. Now, generally outside Ramadan, we would suggest that the person gargles his mouth and he does it properly. By properly, we mean that he takes the water and he lifts his head up. Head up so that the water goes towards the back of the throat. In Ramadan, we say that extreme gargling, lifting up the head so that the water goes towards the back of the head, back of the throat, that must not be done. And when you're talking of 1-2 drops, that is not certain, because that is not a certain aspect that 1-2 drops are going through. In Ramadan, as far as the fasting is concerned, a person must be certain that he has broken, the fast is broken. He must be certain that 1 or 2 drops went down. Because of imagination or doubt or a feeling or I think 1 drop went down, that will not break the fast. Secondly, concerning the fragrance and the utilization of ether, it will be permissible for you or anybody to utilize fragrance or ether while fasting. That will not break the fast.
Yeah. Contain attar or the perfume, also the commercial perfumes you get.
Everything. The fragrance will not break the fast.
Is it?
Yes.
Jazakallah, brother. Walaikum assalam. For the benefit of the listeners, once again, alhamdulillah, this program has been made very possible with the kind sponsorship of PrideNet. I think we still. We have a few more. Mufti, would you like to enlighten us on 1-2 questions that you had earlier on?
Concerning suppositories.
Yes.
Generally, in this month, certain Muslim brothers or patients are requested to utilize suppositories. The rule for suppositories is that it will break the fast because something has gone in, and the general rule for Ramadan will be that anything entering the brain or anything entering the stomach, brain or stomach directly, that will break the fast and will make it invalid, and a person will have to repeat that fast.
1 second, your name. So, Mr. Abhi, if I may say, then there's this question that came about previously also, when a person has a diabetes, he normally takes insulin. Then the insulin will not invalidate his fast. Is that correct?
A person who is a diabetic and is taking insulin injections, then inshallah that will not break his fast.
Yeah.
However, about injections, since Maulana has spoken about injections, please bear with us, there's a caller on the line. Let me talk about injections for a while. Because the Shariat has allowed taking of injections, this does not mean for everything and anything we must start taking injections.
Yes.
This is the last resort.
You mean if somebody decides he's feeling weak and he decides to take a vitamin injection?
No, if a person is feeling weak and for that day he's not performing very well, not walking very straight,
yes,
then it does not mean he must go take a vitamin injection because the fuqaha have allowed it.
Yes.
If a person is very, very sick and he is feeble and in our terminology that the sky and the earth are looking same to him,
yes,
and he's becoming drowsy and he is falling down, then he is, in that case, allowed to take an injection,
yes,
to boost him.
Yes.
And if a person has got extreme attack of bronchitis or is very, very sick, and the doctor says to him, see, I have to give you an injection, and the doctor will determine this, that no, you can take the injection or you can take the medication after opening the fast, the injection must not be treated as a light affair. The injection must be treated as a last resort, not the first resort.
All right, okay. Now, JazakAllah for enlightening us, Mr. Jazakallah. I think we have a caller in. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Ji.
Okay. Actually, I need to ask a question concerning the Tarawih Salah.
Ji, go ahead.
Somebody is reading.
You could speak a little louder, then. You could speak a little louder.
Okay. Somebody is reading Tarawih in the masjid next to a house. Okay. Now the Tarawih Salahs are relayed into this house as well. Is it permissible for the ladies to make their Tarawih Salah behind that imam in the masjid next door? It's not the same plot. It's two different houses completely. Is these ladies allowed to make Salah like that?
I have understood your question.
For the benefit of the listeners, I think if we could just repeat that question. That the question here is that a Tarawih Salah is being performed in the masjid and the house next door would like to relay that Tarawih Salah, and the women of the household would like to follow the imam in the Tarawih Salah. Would that be permissible? Is that correct, Mr.?
No. The people are already doing
that. Oh, they're already doing that.
What I mean, it is relayed, and a lot of people from the area is making Salah in this house next door to the masjid. I want to know, can this be done? Because there's, besides that question too, I would like to ask another one on top of that. People are making Salah of Tarawih Salah with the satellite television. Is that also allowed? Could you please answer that question?
Yes, I will answer it.
Must I put the phone down?
No, you can
put it down.
You can put it down. This reminds me of a small incident. I went to Karachi once, and I went to a relative of mine, and it was Eid day. So the household people, and this was all mahrams, so they were telling me that quickly make wuzu and join the salat.
The people of the household.
They were telling me join the salat, so I was wondering what salat to join.
Yes.
Then I realized, that four of my uncles, they were standing in front of the television and following the haram imam. So I saw this is quite a long following, you see, and this is a long shot they were having. However, to answer your question, we'll answer the second one first, and then the first one second. The second one concerning following the Tarawih via satellite. This is not permissible. Otherwise, they will begin to follow the Farz Salat via satellite and link up with the Haram Imams. The actual reason is that there is no contact. There is no contact or link between the Imam. There is no continuous link between the Imam and the followers. Because of there is no continuous link between the Imam and the followers, therefore that satellite following will not be valid. And also about this house. This house here, because there is no continuous link between the house and the masjid, continuous link will mean that there have to be safs. Those of you who have been to the Haram, when at times when the Haram in Mecca begins to overflow and the Musallis, the followers are making Salat on the road, they make Salat on the road and their iqtida, their following is valid because there is continuity in the safs. There is continuity in the rows. If you link it up, it links up to the Imam. And because of linking up to the Imam, in the by rows, etc., then that following is valid. So when there is no continuity in the following of the woman to the Imam, then the Salat will not be valid. Another riding factor we must understand here. that Taraweeh Salat is Sunnat Mu'akkidah. Taraweeh Salat, performance of 20 rakats Taraweeh Salat is Sunnat Mu'akkidah for male and female. That is one point we must know. Secondly, Taraweeh Salat with Jamaat, 20 rakats is Sunnat Mu'akkidah for men only, not for females. So the female must make their Salat, Taraweeh Salat at home.
Jazakallah. I think Mr. Rabi will answer the question very beautifully.